welcome to another episode of PodNuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you live from the Uncle Marv Studios in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where it is once again a lovely, gorgeous day. And Florida is starting to unleash itself at the end of the quarantine. But I am in South Florida, where Broward and Dade counties are still restricted. We should be able to let loose next week sometime, but hope that everyone else is doing well. I have what I believe is a fantastic show today because I have two women in tech on who I believe are a lot smarter than most of you listening, and won't really put that to the test. But first, let me introduce Lisa Rowley, who is the owner of Geek Help For You. Lisa is a veteran of the IT community. She has been doing things for quite a while, starting with building computers, working on such legacy programs as Novell NetWare 3.11. I'm sorry, 3.12.
IT job was Novell admin.
Yes, and so I applaud anybody that has worked on a Novell product. I started with Novell 4.1. So kudos to that. I do have a question, though.
Maybe that just indicates you're younger than me.
Well, we're not going to say anything there. I know not to ask you two ladies your age, so we'll leave it at that. Now, I do have a question, though, Lisa, because your education says that you graduated from the University of Illinois at Chicago. Now, it doesn't say that you have 4 degrees. But I saw on there, was it business, marketing, Spanish, and computers?
Yes.
Are those 4 separate degrees?
No. My only official degree is marketing.
Okay.
And I had a focus, so to speak, of Spanish and computers. And I lived in Paraguay for a year as a foreign exchange student. So that basically I was able to test out at the first 3 levels, making it super easy to just put that in the equation.
Oh, I see.
Because when I came back to the States, I was dreaming in Spanish. So my Spanish has gotten rusty over the last 30 years. But
okay. Well, mine has too. I haven't spoken since high school. So that is that. many of you will remember my second guest who has been on the podcast before, Lynn Thames of Thames Computer Consulting. Lynn has been in the industry for quite some time as well and has done some pretty good things herself. I remember, Lynn, you being an actual software engineer in the early days. Is that correct?
Well,
Or was that by title only?
Title only.
Okay.
I have a master's degree in software engineering.
Oh.
But but I didn't really do software engineering as a job. My first job was at, this will really take, you probably don't even know this, you're so much younger than me. I was an NVS systems programmer on an IBM 370 computer.
Okay, I've seen that.
Yeah, I don't even know if you even know what that is.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. I didn't work on it, but I've seen it.
Yeah, so I worked for the Travelers Insurance Company in Hartford, Connecticut. And I was one of a team of IT people that managed there. They had 16 IBM mainframes, and things were huge. They had all data center, millions of dollars of computer equipment. They had a team of programmers, but we were just programming the updates. That was all the programming we did. So that's where I started. And then they paid for me to get a master's degree. It was one of their benefits.
So that's a nice little perk.
Yeah, I'll go do that. So I did.
All right. And then both of you left the organized world, I guess, and ended up starting your own companies. And here we are. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But let me first ask, since I told everybody how I was doing during the pandemic, how are you guys doing?
Who should go first? I'm in Los Angeles. We had our first relaxation moving into stage two. Honestly, I'm not sure we're ready for it since we still had 54 deaths yesterday and our numbers are not going down. So I am in self-quarantine and we'll continue that for a little while.
All right, Lynn?
Yeah, I'm in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and this part of Pennsylvania is still under quarantine till June 4th. The other parts of Pennsylvania have opened. I am staying in quarantine. I have no plans in the foreseeable future to go out and, you know, for work, that is. I'm going to do everything remotely. I have started to venture out to, you know, some stores and things with a mask on and all that. But I don't know. I follow the Johns Hopkins website, and the chart they have, the worldwide chart, is just up, up, up. There's no leveling off. So I'm not comfortable right now getting back into it. I feel very lucky that I can work from home.
Right.
I'm very grateful for that. So that, and my husband can work from home. He's been working from home for years. So our lives haven't changed that much in that respect. So
I feel
grateful for that.
Well,
and like ahead. Lynn, I've always worked remote. I've only gone on site when it's required because something physically has to be done. So that made this transition to self-quarantine super easy.
Yep, for me as well. Even though I still do a lot of, you know, hardware sales and setting up stuff, I rarely go out. I mean, I probably, a good week for me is leaving once a day. But most of the time I only leave once or twice a week. And I believe I've only been on site 3 times in the last 2 months. And I'll make my fourth trip out either tomorrow night or Saturday when nobody's in the office. I've got to replace a battery backup in the server room. So that's the only trip I have to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you guys enjoying. Now, are you guys getting groceries delivered with Instacart or anything like that?
I'm getting as much delivered as possible. I've found a local farmer and a meat processor is not really the right word, but they used to sell to restaurants, but because all the restaurants are closed, their supply chain, their customers dried up, and so they started selling to households.
Oh, okay.
So I'm able to order every week and get what I want delivered on Saturday, and it's perfect.
All right, Lynn, you were shaking your head no.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning of all this, we signed up for Instacart and couldn't get a delivery date for like 4 weeks. And I sort of never went back. And my husband actually has been doing all the shopping. And he gets up early and goes to one of our local markets. And it's very, you know, you have to wear a mask to go in. They limit the amount of people. You know, there's one entrance, one exit. They've got, you know, marked. The aisles are one way. So they're doing the best they can, you know. So we have been getting groceries out. And like today I went to the pharmacy. I had to get some things. So
our pharmacy is also doing delivery, but all our local stores are doing the same kind of procedure of limiting going in. About 2 months ago, I sent my 20-year-old to the store. So if we do more store things, it's going to be the 20-year-old going because he has the strongest immune system of us all.
Wow. So, of course, you know, I'm in Florida where we, you know, do what we want. So even though we have stay-at-home orders, most people still go to Publix. I mean, it is pretty crowded. And I don't know if you've seen the news lately, but we're the state responsible for fights inside of stores where, you know, people are not social distancing and people that are take offense to that and we'll start punching people. So we've had a few of those. Joy.
You can't punch people and be 6 feet away.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
work.
That is true.
We have a requirement here to wear a mask in any public, store or whatever. And a store is allowed to not let you enter
right.
if you're not wearing a
Same
mask.
Here.
Yeah, is that in Florida too, or no?
Well, yes. So we're supposed to wear masks, but of course there are people that don't. And we had a gentleman in Miami who pitched a fit and had a little tantrum outside the store where they would not let him in. And it got that went viral last week. So it was it's been fun down there. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been fun.
Yeah.
So let me ask a question and try to maneuver our way into some tech talk, because one of the questions that I wanted to ask you guys, things that some techs have struggled with has been this idea of work-life balance, because they've had to work, you know, from home, and most of them don't. Even myself, I have an office separate from my home, and for the most part, it's me as the only tech, although the wife is here, you know, as an admin, but, you know, we don't have to social distance, but if we did, you know, I'm 1,000 feet from my house. So it hasn't really been much of a change for me. I imagine that even though both of you work from home, having the other family members be home, how has that been?
That's been a huge challenge for me, because I'm used to having my office is a quarter of my living room and a quarter of the garage. And I'm used to having the whole house to myself when one kid's at school, the other kid's at his internship, the husband's out at his office. You know, now all four of us are in our small space trying to claim one corner of the house each. I lost my garage workshop to my husband, who took that over for his home office.
Right.
It's been a little challenging. But we're working it out.
So, but do you get like priority? Do you ever get to kick them out?
No, I'm the last one. yesterday, I went and had a meeting in my car.
All right. And Lynn, how about you?
No, my kids are grown and are moved out. So my husband has worked out of the house for about 4 years now, and he has an office we have a finished basement. And that's his office, so he's down there. And I have an office in, I believe, a den. We used to be a den, and I took it over as an office when the kids moved out.
Okay.
So that's my office. So we each go to our corners, and it's good. The only thing you might hear is the dog. The dog does tend to bark.
Is that the whining in the background? Mommy, take care of me. Why are you on the computer?
It's always when I'm on a phone call or on a podcast. No, I'm never on, you know, on some Zoom meeting, the dog will bark. So he's okay. Our only, if you hear it, I apologize in advance.
Okay. All right. Well, Lisa, let me go back to you and ask you a couple of questions, because this is the first time you've been on the show. And I know that you've been in the biz for quite some time, and you have done, and like I said, you did build computers, you were desktop tech. When you started your business, what was it that really got you to the point of starting your business? And then, you know, what is your focus?
Well, when I got out of IT, when my kids were little, because their needs were too much, and the stress of getting them to the babysitter and me down to the office downtown and all that, and then getting back in time, and it just got to the point where the money coming in was not worth it.
Okay.
So I took a break for a couple of years, about 5 years. And then they went to school and things were much more controllable and I got bored. But I didn't want to go back to the 9 to 5, you know, working all night on a Friday night to get server updates done while the users are out of the office. And, you know, I just didn't want to be beholden to somebody else's timeline and schedule. So I decided to try my hand at starting my own consultancy, where I could pick my projects and decide who I wanted to work with and when I wanted to work, and work weekends if I wanted to and not work weekends if I didn't. So 10 years later, I'm still doing it.
All right. So after 5 years, I have to imagine that starting up fresh again, starting the business, did you have to start it completely from scratch, or did you have some things that you could pull from, some customers you could pull from before?
It was complete scratch. And even getting my knowledge back up to date was a little bit challenging. Because as you know, the pace of change in our industry is just nightmarish.
Right. Right.
So I started with where I'm strongest and worked from there. I also started with what was the most need around me. I've always been really good at virus cleanup, and most home users struggle with getting infected. So I just started there and started fixing up computers that had gotten totally messed up from people not having proper antivirus programs. And did a good enough job in those type of things where the person said, oh, you did such a good job helping me with my home computer. Can you come to the office and help me with my work computer? So it just kind of grew from there, you know, slow and organic.
All right. And Lynn, go ahead.
Oh, it sounds very familiar. It sounds like my life story as well. I mean, mine is almost exactly the same. I took a break for probably about 5 years, I think, maybe even a little longer before I did a couple part-time jobs, not IT related, and then started my business, started the same way, just with home users, and advertised my services in local synagogue and church newsletters, and started to get clients, and then word of mouth, and then the same thing where somebody at home's like, you know, I have an office, you're really good, will you come to my office? And this is back in, for me, it was in the early 2000s. So people, you know, IT support was not, like a lot of small offices had none, you know, they didn't have any. So they were looking for someone who would, because some of the IT people, the MSPs were too big. You know, they wanted bigger clients. And these people had maybe 2 computers, 3 computers, something like that. So I found like that was like a good little sweet spot.
Niche.
Yeah, good little niche.
Right. And Lynn, I know you focus on usually 10 and under small businesses. Yeah. Lisa, how about your focus?
I'm back to there. I took a left turn for a while and supported a fairly large organization that had 2 offices and 80 staff and 110 computers.
Wow.
Found that their needs had grown beyond what I could do all by myself. And I didn't want to hire somebody. I didn't want the responsibility of somebody else's livelihood. So we decided to part ways, and I scaled back my business a little bit at the beginning of this year as a result. And I'm going back to that sweet spot. For me, that's a good fit of small home offices where they're more likely to want their needs being met 9 to 5, Monday to Friday.
Okay, so you guys have done, I don't want to say the opposite, because I am still only focused on businesses. I only do the homes of the owners of the business, and I really won't take on any other residential. I won't take on smaller clients. Now, I do have a couple of small clients, but they were big at one point. My oldest client used to have 20 people on staff, and it's down to just 2.
Mm-hmm.
But they were loyal to me, and I will stay loyal to them, but I'm not taking on smaller clients. But it's interesting that, you know, as solo techs, you know, there's such a wide variety of what we do. So let me ask a sideways question. And because I get a chance to ask you, not only are you solo techs, you're also women in tech. And I want to ask a couple of questions. So let me start with when you started the businesses and started going out to get business and things like that, how was it for you going into the world and trying to compete against the men, I guess?
Well, I have two things I want to say. Can we go back to the last thing we were
sure.
talking about?
Yeah, we can do whatever you want.
I just
want
to say that, so this whole thing with a lot of companies, everybody working at home, mm-hmm. I have a feeling, so what happened was initially, you know, people, larger MSPs don't want to support home users. Well, now a lot of large MSPs are supporting their users at home.
Absolutely, yes.
So I feel like that has really changed. No, and I don't know how it's going to affect like Lisa and I, and because the future, I really think that going forward, that a lot of larger companies are going to rethink their big office leases in these corporate, in these buildings, that possibly, you know, working remotely is the way to go. Like you heard, Jack Dorsey of Twitter just told his whole...
Yep, they can work home.
Work at home forever.
Forever, yep.
And I don't think he's going to be the last company to do that. So I don't know how that will... Because I do help a lot of people at home that have an office, like they work for a big company and they have a corporate IT that deals with their work computer, but at home they need someone to do their home computer. And right now those IT people are helping them. So they say to me, oh, I don't need you, I've got that IT. So,
All right. Well,
there's going to be a shift going on right now.
Well, let's then scratch where I was going and let's go with that, because are you being affected right now with people that you would support, and now if they were connecting to a corporate office, now their corporate IT is saying, no, you can't do this anymore, it's got to be our way. Are you having any of that as an impact right now?
Personally, I have not actually had that as an impact. If you want to talk about my impact, I have a couple retail clients, and they of course have been impacted by this.
Okay.
I worked out for the next few months where they're just covering my expenses.
Right.
And I'm letting them float on the rest of the monthly fee until things get back. But I haven't actually been affected by that, but I do see that as an issue, because I have talked to people that have said, oh, their company IT people who never would help them at home are now helping them at home.
Right.
Because they're trying to Zoom or whatever they're trying to do. So.
Okay. Now, Lisa, if I remember correctly, you're not looking for new customers right now. So.
Correct.
But has there been an impact on your current customers?
So most of my customers are small home offices that don't have any corporate linkage.
Okay.
I do have a couple of people that work for an organization. They have IT people they can call for their work computer, kind of like Lynn said. And in those particular clients don't like calling their IT people at work.
Okay.
Because they don't find them as helpful.
Right.
So then I've been lucky that they're still calling me. I did have the first month of the stay-at-home orders, I had a huge downturn in my income. I think everybody was just kind of scrambling. I had like 1 week where I had almost everybody, how do I set up Zoom? And I was working like crazy. And then I had a month where it's like crickets. I didn't hear from anybody.
Okay.
And I think everybody just kind of went, and froze for a minute. And now it seems like we're getting back into the regular rhythm of calls that I'm used to.
All right. Lynn, were you going to add something to that?
No, I kind of had the opposite. I had, for me, it's been like crazy busy until like this week. Suddenly, I don't know what happened this week. This week it's silent. And I'm okay with that. It's fine.
Well, yeah. People are allowed to get out, so they're probably out doing recreational stuff and not working.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's totally fine. So
they're all at the beach.
Yeah. Maybe the beaches are closed here. No, you can't.
Oh, they're closed there? Okay.
You can walk on the beach. You cannot sunbathe.
Ours were open, and then they closed them again. Well, when I say ours, I mean north part of Florida, so... All the way up to Jacksonville, I think, is still open, but most of Palm Beach and Central Florida, they opened them up and then they closed them again because they said people couldn't listen and social distance.
That's the problem, is there's that subset of people that won't think about other people. They won't think of other people. They just think of themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So continuing with that, because you got me now on a thought here, going forward, Lynn, you were thinking that there might be an impact of more people working from home needing IT support for home.
Right.
Corporate IT won't do them. Large IPs won't touch them. However, the question I pose is, Do you think that might change? Because if MSPs are losing some of their monthly revenue, they've got to replace it somehow.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how many MSPs both of you know, but have you heard any talk about MSPs kind of shifting and being able to now take anything because they want to replace what they're losing?
I would say, like, if you're, say you're an MSP, okay, let's just say you're an MSP that, you know, you are 20 or above for your client base. And now, so you have a client that's got 40 computers or 40 people, and all those people are now working at home. You're not going to say, well, I'm not going to help them. Like, you're going to help them at home now.
Right.
And so whether they have a corporate device that they're using or their personal device. If they're using their personal device, that's where I would be impacted more than if they had a corporate device. That wouldn't affect me. I would have never gotten that business because they would have always had a corporate computer. Right. So, I think larger MSPs are absolutely going to have to adjust to that. How can they not? They can't say, oh, sorry, I'm not going to help you now. They're going to lose that business. So I think they will be doing that. So, I don't know. I'm not sure how it'll affect me. I hope it doesn't.
Lisa?
I haven't heard specifically from, I think you're on the same user groups that I am as far as, you know, other IT people. But I agree with Lynn. I think this is going to change how everyone works. And as a result, we're all going to have to adjust. What that's going to look like will be interesting to see over the next year or two.
Right.
For me personally, a lot of my clients are also women who own their own businesses.
Me too.
And run them out of their homes. And one of the reasons they chose me as their IT person is because they were thrilled to find a tech who was a woman. For their own safety reasons, for communication styles, for and I used to get together with a group of guys in a local networking group here in Los Angeles. And one of the guys told me once, it's not fair because anyone who's looking for a woman tech won't find very many. So you like are guaranteed the business.
Oh, it's not fair. Oh, you know.
Right.
Okay. So it's not fair that young white guys get a lot of business just, you know, I'll fight a lot of those arguments as well because, you know, being black in tech is not easy.
No, you have the same sort of issues probably we have.
Well, it is weird. Yeah. I mean, but here's just the thing. So there are businesses that I've gotten over the phone because they haven't seen me.
Yeah.
And then when I show up on site, they're like, but you're black.
Yeah.
And yes. I'm like, and,
is that a problem? whereas, I mean, you know, most women are not going to have that opportunity because they're going to hear your voice and, oh, right. That's a woman. And right. They'll have right. their preconceived notions or they'll look at us and have those issues. So, you know, but, you know, on the other side, there is this focus. If people are truly looking for, you know, minority-owned businesses or they're looking for women-owned businesses, you know,
then you
there's truth in that because there aren't very many. Now, right. There's getting to be more, and I know that women are in the industry at a higher clip than African-Americans. I think women, let me rephrase that. There's like 45% of women in marketing and sales and that sort of thing. But in terms of actual tech, I think the number is 37% or something around there. And okay. it's like 3% for African Americans.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely ridiculous. I need to remind myself to get the Facebook diversity report that I read every year that I got those numbers. So if I'm off a little bit, I'm sorry, but but those are still significant differences. So very interesting.
So there are some advantages, I suppose, to being a woman. You know, there definitely are people who are looking for women techs. And like you said, if you're lucky enough to run across one of those people, that obviously gives you an advantage there. I've had to work on my professional voice and bringing my voice down so that when vendors call, they don't say, "Can I speak to your mother?" sometimes I forget and end up too high a pitch still. But you know, we have some unique challenges, but they also come with some advantages. And I've just been trying to play to the advantages and not worry about competing with people that I'm not a good fit for.
Right.
And I
would totally agree with that, but I would say, and this may be my own, I don't know if you call it insecurity or whatever. I feel like that male techs are where I'm undervalued more than with clients. Does that make sense? So in other words,
I will agree with that.
Yeah, that's where I feel like, I don't, being a woman is impacting me when I'm with other technical people versus it's never been an issue with a client. Now, if some client didn't hire me, if they didn't hire me because I was a woman, I don't know that. So, but all the clients that I have men and women, but definitely more women than men as clients. And, most of them say, and one of the benefits is hiring you is you're a woman. Like, that's not the reason, but it definitely
But it's a perk for them.
It's a factor.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask this question. So when you are out and meeting prospects or doing your marketing, do you ever include that as a factor in your marketing and prospecting that, do you just go out there and what happens and you just find out stuff, as to whether you got something or didn't because of being a woman?
Yeah, I would say that I have probably a handful of times where I was competing against other IT people for a particular job. I have found all of my work has been generally, somebody got my name somewhere and I go to meet them and they hire me. Like, I meet them and they hire me. And I can think of maybe 4 or 5 times where I've had to present a proposal to someone who's looking at a bunch of other IT people or a couple other IT people. So I don't have to do that.
Same here. I've only once in the 10 years I've been on my own, I've been asked for a resume. I don't generally bid out things. It's like, either hire me or don't, tell me what you need and I'll help you get it. But I don't put myself in situations where that's an issue.
Okay. Have you ever been asked by anybody to do that? Because I have, where I've had companies, ask me to bid on jobs specifically for being a minority. And I tell them, I'll bid, but that's not the reason I want the job.
Right.
I want the job because you think I'm going to be the best person to help you and because I'm good. And I don't want it to be, a factor of my race got me the job. I don't want that.
Right. Of course. Right. No, I've never had to do that. I've never been asked that.
All right.
Me neither.
Okay. Now, going back to your comment, Lynn, that you made about where the respect factor is probably harder to get from other male techs.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's probably more of like a, I don't want to call it a good old boy network, but to some sense, that's how I see it. It was where, good old boys, guys will tend to migrate to other guys and they can, hang out in their cliques and have their talks and, say guy things in the back rooms and stuff. Do you think that that's it? Or is there ever been anything where they just simply, is it just because you're a woman or because they don't think you're as smart as you say you are? Or what types of things do you get from that?
I don't know. It's hard for me to say what the answer to that question is. what I really don't like is I don't like when men will say, oh, you know, we can't say this or that in front of a woman. If your stuff you can't say in front of me, you shouldn't be saying it anyway. You shouldn't.
Okay.
It probably shouldn't be said.
Very good point.
Yeah. So I can take a lot. You know, I'm tough. I grew up in Philadelphia. Like, I'm tough. I can handle a lot of language and comment. I can't, you know, I won't tolerate any kind of, you know, if I hear racism or misogyny and stuff like that, right. I don't want to tolerate that.
So I'm sure that geography has a little bit to do with this, because being, you know, in Philadelphia, there's a hardcore working mentality, a toughness that's there.
Yeah.
At least you're in California. I'm in South Florida. We have completely different environments. So how is it for you out in California?
I think culture might impact things a little bit. I think here in LA, there's definitely an attitude of, you know, everybody needs to work together and love each other, whether you're black, white, or purple, gay, lesbian, whatever. Like, I think as a culture, we tend to be more tolerant of differences here in Los Angeles. But as a woman in IT over the years, I would say the last 10 years, I have not had any huge problems, but I've also been in a bit of a bubble, you know, working in my own place, doing my own thing with clients I like. That's part of why I'm taking on new clients right now, is I have enough work to keep me busy. And I want to picky. I want to close my circle a little bit. And, you know, there's more to life than making money. Money's great and we need it to survive and live lives, but it's not the only thing. Especially as you get older and closer to retirement, you know, you realize that there's more to life than that. But in my corporate days, especially when I started in IT, I was living in Chicago. And the very first IT job I had, at lunch break, the guys would get together in the lunchroom and, you know, chit chat and talk. And then one of the guys said to the other guys one day, "Hey, did you ever notice when we start joking around that Lisa just gets up and leaves?" Because they would tell dirty jokes. It was like, I don't need to be a part of this. And they started modifying their behavior because I stopped tolerating their behavior. You know, well, I never tolerated it to begin with, but I didn't berate them or do anything except just get up and leave, you know, and make it very obvious that I was leaving.
You know, and that was probably much more of a statement than anything you would have said, so.
Right. And then I had another experience where I was the first tech. This was a consulting job I had in corporate America, probably little over 20 years ago. And I had joined a team of people who were told that they were contract to hire. You know, that you're on a contract now, but if it works out well for you, you will have a real job with benefits and vacation time and all that. So everybody was told that. And I got on the team, and I had been the first woman on the team in over 5 years. And my first week on the job, I was being asked, "Can you go make these copies? Can you get me a cup of coffee?" And I'm like, "No, I am not your secretary. I'm not here to serve you. I am a technician. I'm here to do the work alongside of you."
Wow.
I had one time about a month into that job where one of my coworkers printed out a derogatory statement on a label and stuck it to my toolkit.
Oh, boy.
And a manager from another department happened to be walking by the room as this scene was playing out. And she took an immediate about face, walked into the room and said, "Excuse me. Would you like me to walk Lisa up to HR right now? Or would you like to apologize and decide to act differently?" And he took an immediate about face.
Sure, right.
So, you know, I've had my share of not being treated properly. And like Lynn, you know, I can take a fair amount and I don't really care. But I'm hoping as a country and as a culture that we're growing up a little bit over the last 20 years and people are understanding that
don't laugh at that. She's trying to give us hope.
that your skills are much more than your skin color or whether you're male or female, you know, that it's about your experience and what you can actually do on the job.
All right. Lynn, stop laughing.
I'm sorry. I just forgot what I was going to say. That was something you said. Oh, it made me think of when you said that, you know, you can take a lot. It made me think of that Me Too movement that's going on. That
right.
Women, you know, we have been, especially when you've been working for 20, 30 years, you've dealt with a lot of stuff from men. And that's how I'm going to leave it. You had to put it aside and move on. Otherwise, you know, you wouldn't be able to work. So, you just brought that up and made me think of that. I'm not trying to bring up that kind of a thing or talk about that. I just meant I hate when I hear people discount it because it really is a thing. It really is a thing that women deal with. And I'm sure other minorities deal with it as well.
Well, every group has their stuff they deal with. And I know that from my perspective, so I don't want to say that I've got a handle on all the situations. I still deal with being black from time to time, although it's better. But I think it's better because once people get to know me, you know, they kind of dismiss a lot of that. And of course, it helps that I, you know, play country music and Celtic Woman and, you know, those types of things. And they're like, what? But I also grew up, my parents divorced when I was young, and I was left in a house with three women growing up from the age of 12. So I, you know, had to raise my two sisters and help them deal with their stuff and just regular life and being girls and growing up and having guys pick on them and stuff like that. And, you know, the difference is I'll fight you, you know?
Yeah, right.
I haven't had a fight in a few years, so, you know.
That's good.
So let's do a little bit of a switch, and we've kind of talked about all of that, but tell me something really great or something that has been like the best thing that has been, you know, happening to you as a result of being in the industry and being a woman in the industry, stuff like that. Do you have any one story that sticks out? No? Lynn, you're starting to talk. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm thinking. I don't think it has anything to do with being a woman.
Okay. Well, then, whatever. The best thing that's happened to you.
I feel, I can't remember now. It's probably been 7 years when I started doing, I don't call myself an MSP, but I started doing service contracts and service plans. And so, that has been for me a really big change in my business and how I was running my business. And I'm actually just really proud of myself that I was able to build this from nothing. I took nothing, and I actually have I've got a real business here with real clients that rely on me to keep their businesses or their home offices working. And that's pretty much it. I don't know that has anything to do. I mean, I'm sure I have some clients because I'm a woman, but I don't think it has anything to do with being a woman. I'm a capable person that cares about her clients. I care about their situations and I want to help them.
All right. You started your business in 2002, right?
Yeah. I mean, I did it very part, like Lisa, I had young kids. I did it part time, only home users initially. So it was just part-time around my kid's schedule, which is, that's an interesting issue to delve into, but I think a lot of women do that. So I worked around their schedule, and then as they got older and they had more autonomy, I was able to spend more time working. And then the big change for us was in 2008, my husband got laid off in the last recession, and that I had to kick up my business to make up the income, the lost income. And that's when I really, so really from 2008 till now is really when I worked hard on this business. I was sort of just doing it as it came around.
Right.
Before that.
Okay.
And similar for me, you had started the show asking about work-life balance, which there seems to be none of right now since we're all at home working and living. But, you know, for me, that was the biggest piece of the equation, was that work-life balance, to be able to meet the needs of my family and make money, you know, but do it on my own terms. Like Lynn, when my kids were little and had a lot of needs, I didn't work as much. You know, as they grew older, now they're teenagers, they're a little bit more self-sufficient. They're not quite out on their own like Lynn's kids are, but they're getting closer. You know, they certainly don't need as much from mom. I have more time to be able to work full-time now. So, you know, the beauty of doing my own thing is I can scale up or scale down, you know, just like our quarantine right now. we can move out or pull back depending on people's needs. And to me, that's the best thing, is just having control of my life and, you know, steer my own ship.
All right. Now, Lynn, you said that, you know, you started doing service agreements. Did you model them after an MSP style, or what made you make that change?
Yes, I'm going to give a plug to Carl Palachuk right now.
Okay.
I read his book, Manage Services in a Month. I think it was on a Facebook group that I heard about it. And I got it and read it, and it really helped me rethink how I structured my business. And I didn't follow it entirely because he was talking about dealing with business clients only. So, and I had home users at the time, mostly home users. But I have managed to do these service plans for home users. There's plenty of home users that will pay you $50 to $60 a month to monitor their computers, and have you pick up the phone when they call and help them, you know, fix their wireless printer or whatever it is. And then I, you know, migrated to small businesses and home offices and stuff. So, so I think that book was really the. I've told Carl this in person, but you know, if he's listening, thanks, Carl.
I don't know if Carl would listen to a podcast this small, so
maybe not. Whatever.
Yeah. Maybe he'll hear his name and come back and listen. So
right.
All right, Lisa. What now? You're just doing project work. You're doing break fix. What's your model?
Well, I'm sort of a hybrid. I wouldn't fully call myself an MSP, but like Lynn, I do some service contracts, and actually all of the people I have on contract right now are home office.
Okay.
You know, people who are just individuals who are either their computers are very frustrating to them because they don't understand how they work, or they're running their own business and they just don't have time to deal with it and they want to offload it to somebody else. You know, and that's where it's a perfect fit for me, you know, and it affords me knowing that I've gotten a certain baseline of clients that are going to need my attention every month, a certain baseline of income that I know I'm going to get every month. I even have a couple of people who say, if I don't let you get to my computer, I will still pay you. You know, if they're a laptop and they don't have time for me to do the maintenance, you know, and they don't give me access, I still get paid for that month. So it works well for me and for them because I can be available, you know, on a moment's notice as long as I'm not working with somebody else. They understand there's a queue involved and it's first come, first serve. unless they make an appointment in advance, you know, and if you make an appointment in advance and I set aside the time for you. So it works out. I think there's a lot of people who understand how important the computer is in their life and the need to have it running properly and to preempt problems and not wait for them to happen is is important to be able to run everything else in your life, especially if you're running a small business.
I think that the smaller the business, the more they recognize a service agreement as being important and not necessarily as a line item, you know, in their budget that they've got to make as small as possible. So the smaller the client, I think the more they recognize that, look, paying this much to have somebody available is worth it. Whereas the larger customers, you know, even my three largest customers, I'm fighting all the time, you know, every year when I need to, you know, raise their rates, and they're like, well, we want to lower it this year. And I'm like, okay, you want to give yourself raises. You want to have a better standard of life. I want the same thing too.
Right.
You know, and those are great. So ladies, of course, I had this outline that we didn't follow.
I think we did a fair amount of it, though.
Which for some reason always happens. But I did want to give an opportunity because I usually don't do this where I allow the guests to ask each other questions. So I wanted to make a point of giving you guys time. Do you have questions for each other or for me? And flip the script a little bit here.
We actually know each other pretty well.
Oh. Okay.
I'm in Chicago when we went to a conference last year.
To the, which one, the ITO or the unconvention?
ITO.
ITO, okay. That was a fun year.
Yeah, we chat on Facebook and Messenger and ask each other questions from time to time.
Oh, you guys didn't tell me that. You guys are hoodwinking me here.
Do you use the bookkeeper that I use?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we share a bookkeeper, too.
We share a bookkeeper.
Really? Nice.
Yeah. It was somebody who actually is a friend of mine who lives very close to me, and she's my bookkeeper. And Lisa once asked me, I guess, once, and I gave her.
Yeah, Lynn had posted about how grateful she was for her bookkeeper being on top of things. I said, oh, any chance you'd be willing to work remote? Because I need some help.
That was the thing. I would, if I'm going to give any advice to anybody ever, which, you know, I would say if you're running a business, and you don't, I don't particularly like all that stuff with the administrative stuff and the money. It was taking so much of my time and causing me so much frustration. To turn that over to somebody was like the greatest thing I've done for myself. I don't think about it at all now. I really don't. She handles it, but she does a great job. And it's all worth whatever the money is.
I will echo that because the one thing that'll make you realize to have a professional do it is to owe the IRS money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was not fun. And I said, I will never have that happen again.
Yeah. Right. I don't blame you on that one.
I think that's the biggest thing running a business is realizing what are your strengths and what are the things you need to offload. You know, for us, our strengths are the computers and the IT, and we need to offload bookkeeping. For other people, like I have a client who's an electrician, you know, he's great at doing electrical work. You know, he gets really flustered with his computer. It makes sense for him to offload that to me. So, you know, if we all play to our strengths and offload our weaknesses, then we're all much more functioning, happy people.
Definitely. Right. Right.
All right. Well, this wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. I was hoping that you guys would chat amongst yourselves, but you guys do that all the time.
As I tell my family when we, you know, we have like a Zoom call now, I say, I don't have anything new to tell you. I've been doing the same thing every day is another day. I don't know what day it is. It's just day. It seems to be the same.
Let me ask this. So I know that a lot of people, like, for some reason, you know, their Zoom calls are, you know, skyrocketing. And, you know, they're saying that they're talking to their clients more. So I'm not talking to them any more than I did before. Are you guys finding that you're talking to your clients more and having to do more Zoom meetings with them?
I'm not doing any Zoom meetings with my clients.
Okay.
No, I've never done Zoom meeting with my, I've only done remote into their computer to get their Zoom working.
Right.
But I don't, no asking Zoom with me.
I will say the thing that I've been doing more is I've been getting, I have service contracts and I do some, you would call it break fix, but it's not really, you know, I'm not Well, I fix some broken computers, but mainly like someone will call and either it's not someone that I've done work with before. They got my name somehow. Can I help them? They have a virus, their emails, or whatever the issue is. And so I've been remoting in. In the past, I may have gone to their home or their office, but now I'll just remote in. And so I will, there are days where I will be at my desk all day on the phone, remoting into people's computers and helping
right.
them. By the end of that day, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah, okay, I get it. What are you guys using for remote support?
TeamViewer for me.
TeamViewer. I use TeamViewer, and I use SolarWinds as a RMM.
Okay.
So the people that are on my service contract have SolarWinds agent installed, so they have a thing called tape control.
Yep. That's what I use.
So as a matter of fact, though, I started using the tape control standalone as well, because they were offering it free for 90 days during the quarantine, and I have offered it to my clients that used to work in an office but need to be home. I've offered it for free for them. I set them so they can remote into their work computers that I manage.
Right.
You know? So I like it, though. I really like it. I may switch. I've had TeamViewer forever. It's just easy. The TeamViewer, like, they download it off my website, and it's just very easy.
Well, I think
the TeamViewer quick support module is just super straightforward, and even the most challenged computer user can get me connected.
Right.
And then once I'm connected, I can do whatever I need to do.
I just helped somebody the other day. He's 88 years old. I was able to walk in through downloading TeamViewer quick support, and he could do it. I was like, if they can find their download folder,
that's always the biggest thing. Where did it go? I don't know where it went.
Download folder, right?
All right. Well, yep. I use SolarWinds, and I'm not thinking of switching anytime soon. I know there's a ton out there. What's interesting is I haven't had to help anybody with Zoom, except for
I got it.
I'm trying to think, most of my customers, all the remote stuff was done. All I say is, look, if you get a link, click the link.
Yeah,
well. It will install. You don't need me for that. So.
But then they don't know how to unmute their video or their audio.
Well, that's on them.
Well, I think that's maybe one thing that Lynn and I do perhaps better than other techs, and maybe one reason why we get chosen for these clients is we do a fair amount of training, and hand-holding, walking through, okay, now click that. Okay, do you see that button on the upper right-hand corner? I think someone who can clearly communicate and calmly walk somebody through when they're being frustrated, is a good skill in our line of work.
Now, when you say you do training, so both of you offer a specific training service,
No.
Just part of what you do? You just are willing to sit and train people on how to do stuff.
Yeah.
As long as I get paid by the hour, I don't care what I'm doing.
it depends on the level of what it is. There is a point where if it's too elementary, I can't help them. I don't have the patience for that, but I do spend a lot of time showing people how to do things as well.
Okay. I'm just awed by that, because I know that in the beginning, when I started doing work, I was patient.
Yeah.
I've been losing that patience over the years. So I will do some things, but other things, I'll print up a instruction sheet. I'll make a video and send it to you. I don't want to sit and talk to you and tell you how to click right.
That because I will tell you that I get a lot of people that the reason, just like Lisa said, their IT people at work, I'm not saying this is you, Marvin, their IT people at work won't walk them through it, and the instructions don't make sense, or they can't follow it, or they get overwhelmed when they see a page of instructions, and will I help them do it? And I'm like, yeah, here's my hourly rate, you want to pay it? I'll do it. And so then And then you turn that over, and then they call me, and I help them walk them through.
I think that does happen a lot. Yeah, I think a lot of my clients, the staff are usually younger, so they want to do it on their own anyway.
Yeah,
the only time I really have to deal with them is when they're trying to do stuff in the office and they're blocked by the firewall or they're blocked by a server policy. And they're like, why can't I do this? And I was like, because it's not your network.
Right.
I should be able to do this. Well, you get the boss to tell me that it's okay and I'll do it for you.
Right.
And that conversation never seems to happen.
No, of course not.
Yeah, because that's an entirely different environment than people who are working on their own computers, on their own network at home.
Right.
It's a very different setup.
Well, it's interesting, too, because even with the pandemic, so the customers where we had to set up remote for them with the VPN, you know, my biggest customers actually made it a point that their home computers had to be part of management. That's what I, you know, call my MSP thing, where the computers have to be under management. So in order for them to connect to the office, you know, I had to install my agent on their home computers. And they didn't have a choice with that. And I know that there were some that were quite frustrated, you know, being told that, why do I need this, you know, on my computer? Well, you're connecting to the office. You can transfer, you know, a virus from your computer to that office, you know, by copying a file or this or that. And having to explain that to them, you know, you're still putting the company at risk by connecting.
So that's interesting. So that actually increased your revenue, probably, right?
For a little bit, yeah. I mean, they'll come off once this is all done. But, I mean, I didn't charge them the same amount that I would for an office computer, but, you know, enough to cover the expenses. And a couple of them I did get to charge, you know, a decent amount. So, yeah, it was a little bit. But it's not going to be huge, and it's only for a couple of months.
Yeah, but that makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, ladies, I want to say thank you. We just passed the hour mark.
Yeah.
And unless you guys have anything pressing you want to chat about or tell me, I think we'll go ahead and start ending off. So let me first ask, any last comments that you want to say?
Nope. I love working in IT. I think I'll continue doing this until I want to retire.
It's my hobby and my job, so, which is a nice combination. And I just wish everybody, you know, good health and stay safe.
Okay. Now, for those of you that jumped on the live show here and missed the beginning, we have been talking with Lisa Rowley and Lynn Thames, and we have been sharing basically nice little stories about being in IT. And for those of you listening, thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. I hope that you will go to podnuts.com and look at the show notes and support the affiliates that we've got there. We don't have sponsors for the show, but I ask that if you go and support the people that support us, Freedom Voice, Instant House Call, Malware Bytes, that will help us to do things. And I can keep bringing these shows to you and not ask for people to pay me money. So we'll do that. Ladies, once again, thank you, Lisa, Lynn, and I'm sure I'll see you once the quarantine is lifted. Are either of you going to Michigan later this year?
Right now, I'm not going anywhere.
No.
We'll see.
Okay, no plans, no plans at all for anything.
Well, I had a ton of plans, and so far, 2/3 of them have gone canceled. So
okay,
I'm not.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not counting any chickens before they hatch here in this situation.
When is the Michigan?
It's September 25th through the 27th.
Is this the one that was in Grand Rapids last year?
Yes.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
I've got a reunion in Louisiana that I'm trying to plan over July 4th weekend. So we'll see if that happens.
I wouldn't be surprised if nothing happens till next summer. We'll see.
We shall see. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. For those of you listening to the show, thank you once again. And we'll be back soon with another great show. And until next time, holla.